Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is February 17th, 2013. Hey, happy belated Valentine's Day to all the SGEM listeners. I had a wonderful trip to Ski Beam last week with my family. It was a great EBM, or evidence-based medicine, conference, and there's been lots and lots of positive feedback about the episode we did out there as a pubcast. We called it A Bump Up Ahead, and it was all about the diagnostic accuracy of pain going over speed bumps and appendicitis. The Beam Dream team of Sunil, Joanne, and Anthony did an outstanding job of explaining sensitivity, specificity, and likelihood ratios. Now, one of the goals of the SGEM is to get some of that critical EBM, or evidence-based medicine, skills embedded into the podcast. This, of course, is in addition to the overall goal of turning MedEd on its head. We're using social media as a disruptive technology to shorten that knowledge translation window, or KT window, from an average of 10 years down to 1 year. It is all part of the Free Online Access to Medical Education movement, or FOAM. Today's podcast is called The Strokes. The SGEM does not shy away from controversial topics. I mean, we've done birth control and emergency contraception already. Now it's time to take a look at one of the big elephants of evidence-based medicine and emergency medicine: embolic strokes. Now, we've already done TIAs and that ABCD2 score, not as simple as 1, 2, 3. Check out that previous podcast. Now we're going to be turning our critical or skeptical eye on secondary prevention of stroke. Don't worry, the SGEM will not tackle thrombolysis and embolic stroke right now, but be prepared, we will be doing it soon. So the title again for today's podcast is called The Strokes. Now, the music is from a cool band out of New York City, currently living in London, England. Now, this is all part of the international flavor of the SGEM. The case scenario we're going to deal with today is a 68-year-old man who arrives to the emergency department with 15 minutes of tingling in his right arm and right leg. He has a history of hypertension and previous TIAs. The examination is completely normal, as it usually is by the time someone arrives with a history of TIA. He's already taking aspirin, 325 milligrams, every day. Now, stroke, of course, is one of the leading causes of disability in the Western world. It is the third most common cause of death in the U.S. 25% of ischemic strokes are lacunar. Now, ASA has been the accepted standard of care for years, and dual therapy for cardiovascular problems like acute coronary syndrome and stenting has been shown to be benefit in other studies. One example of this is the CURE trial, which was clopidogrel in unstable angina to prevent recurrent events. So the question facing the SGEM listeners today is, should you add clopidogrel to prevent a stroke for someone who's already taking ASA? The reference for this podcast is the effects of clopidogrel added to aspirin in patients with recent lacunar strokes. This is the SPS3 trial, and it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2012, August edition. Now, the PICO format, or the PICO framework for this, the population, the intervention, the comparison, and the outcome is as follows. The population was just over 3,000 patients, so a reasonable size, from 82 centers in North America, Latin America, and Spain, with recent symptomatic lacunar infarcts identified by MRI. The intervention was clopidogrel 75 milligrams and ASA 325 milligrams. And the comparison was a placebo and ASA 325 milligrams. The outcome that they were looking at was recurrent stroke, either ischemic or intracranial hemorrhage. Now, the main results for this were no benefit. That's right, you heard me, no benefit. And what do I mean by no benefit? Well, I'm referring to the efficacy of adding clopidogrel to aspirin. And there was no efficacy. There was no benefit. And I'm presenting this trial. Why? Because I think it's important to recognize negative trials. And I don't mean negative as in, ooh, that was a bad study. I mean negative as in, it didn't show a positive outcome or didn't show benefit. And there is quite a tradition in the medical literature of not publishing negative studies. And that's called publication bias. That's called publication bias. So I always like to tip of the hat to people that can get negative trials published. So this study showed no benefit. No benefit with regards to recurrent CVA or cerebral vascular accident, recurrent ischemic forms of that, or disabling or fatal CVAs. I'm not going to go through the specific numbers because there was no difference. But whenever we're giving something that's going to affect coagulopathy, you've always got to look at the harm. So we looked at the efficacy, which showed no benefit. But how about the harm? And when I'm referring to harm, I'm talking about bleeding, bad, death, perhaps worse. So major hemorrhage doubled in this study. Doesn't that sound dramatic? It doubled in this study. Now, it was an absolute increase of 1% per year when you added clopidogrel to aspirin alone. So it went from 1.1% to 2.1% with the dual therapy or the combo therapy. And that gave a hazard ratio of 1.97 with a 95% confidence interval of 1.4 to 2.7. In addition, all-cause mortality was increased. So there was 113 deaths with the combo therapy and only 77 deaths with aspirin alone. So the hazard ratio for that, the HR or hazard ratio for that, was 1.5 with a confidence interval of 1.1 to 2.0. So in other words, you had more harm in bleeding and death than benefit. The authors made a reasonable conclusion, and it is, quote, among patients with recent lacunar strokes, the addition of clopidogrel to aspirin did not significantly reduce the risk of recurrent strokes and did significantly increase the risk of bleeding and death, end of quote. The BEAM comments, or the best evidence in emergency medicine commentary, was this was a large 2x2 factorial design randomized control trial. It showed that by adding clopidogrel to ASA did not reduce CVA and did increase the risk of bleed and death. The study was in fact stopped early due to harm and lack of efficacy. The BEAM bottom line for this study is the risk of adding clopidogrel to patients already on ASA for secondary stroke prevention exceeds the benefits. And I put a nice little graphic on the blog showing a teeter-totter with the bar of the teeter-totter saying adding clopidogrel to aspirin, and the little teeter-totter is weighed down or tipped towards the harm because there's more harm with adding clopidogrel to aspirin in these types of patients. Well, the Keener contest winner from last week was Alain Remy Lagenaise. I hope I said that right, Alain. He is from Hamilton, Ontario, of course, and he knew that the BEAM conference held in Hamilton is called Steel BEAM because of its large steel industry there. Now, the Keener contest for this week is, can you name what SPS3 trial stands for? SPS3 trial. That was the name of the trial group that we looked at today. So if you can tell me what SPS3 stands for and you email me thesgem@gmail.com and use Keener contest in the subject line, I will send you a cool skeptical prize if you're the first one to get it to me. Now don't panic. All bleeding stops eventually. And also don't panic, there's still time to sign up for Steel BEAM 2013 this next week, February 21st and 22nd, in Hamilton, Ontario, known as Steel Town. Just contact Teresa, and she'd be happy to set you up. I'm going to be there, and I'd love to meet some of you, and look forward to cutting that KT window to less than 1 year. Don't forget, be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you learned it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Talk with you next week.